Let's go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Cindy Cherry. I'm here with my brother, Tim, my dad, Don. Everyone says, I never thought of Don Cherry as being a dad. I go, well, yes, he is.
And a grandfather.
And a grandfather, yes. So this is Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. And he's dad. You know what they say nowadays? You were trending this week. That's what they say when you're all
trending.
Over the trending. Yeah, yeah. People are talking about perhaps you being the Governor General of Canada.
Well, and Rex Murphy.
All I kept saying is, well, what do they do? A lot of people ask that, don't they?
I sent it over to you.
Yeah, I read it. Yeah, it was a really
It was a wonderful article.
Rex Murphy wrote it. It's National Post, right? I believe.
National Post.
Yeah. So he wrote a great article of why you would be an excellent Governor General. But I would say this, though.
Or why you wouldn't be.
Why you would be, yeah.
Yeah, but I would say this, though, that the one job that Dad would not like would be a Governor General having to go to parties with politicians and making small talk and how do you think the Leafs are going to do? I think that would be your worst job.
I used to do that in the airports all the time. It was good. But Rex Murphy, what a good friend he is. And, you know, you're out of the limelight now and everything, and he puts it in. I tried to phone him, but his thing is full. And no, I don't think I'd be a good German.
Well, you don't speak French. That's the first one.
I don't speak French, so I wouldn't be. I'd have to. It'd be funny. I'd have to give out the thing for Canada. What is it? Canada Cup or something. They give out. What do they call it?
Order of Canada.
Order of Canada.
Order of Canada. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's forget it. And
so
next week we're going to do my birthday.
Yep, your birthday.
February 5th, and and you know the only guy I know that was ever born on February 5th. It's a long story. Do you want to hear about?
We'll do it next week.
Oh yeah, okay. Jason LaSalle, and and we'll do that next week. Okay.
So it was kind of a action-packed week this week in the NHL. So what did you?
Well, you know, I picked out a few things that I thought I was really interested. Oh, did you see McDavid's goal last night? I mean,
right.
Come on.
So this is, again, we tape on Sunday. So the game Saturday night against
I mean, and. I mean.
So let me ask you a question, Dad. If you're coaching against McDavid, what do you tell your defense
back
to do?
Back in. I would not. And you can hear Cheevers go, stay up. Stay up. Yeah, you know, one day.
Because goalies don't like when the
defenseman like back in.
Okay.
The guy shot when he shot. And
it was almost like Ovechkin's goal last night.
Yeah.
He screened. He got the overtime winner, and Rask was screened a bit because the guy backed in.
One time, I forget who the left defenseman was. It was the left defenseman. I think it was Daryl Edestrand. Anyhow, whoever it was. And as soon as the guy had hit the red line, he said, stay up. I said, don't you understand why he's staying stay up? He's staying to stay up. The guy walks around you. You look like the dummy. He doesn't. And he makes the save. But he does not want you backing in. It's to protect yourself. Let him worry about everything. And he, right to the end, he was hollering.
Isn't the coach supposed to stand up for the goalie, Dad?
I was always Cheevers and I were always kind of like I always stuck up for him. But
know what I have to say though, Dad, I was watching that goal last night, and again, sometimes I said, "No, what would happen if Dad was coaching? If McDavid went around Mike Milbury like he went around Bogosian, there probably would have been a brawl."
That goal, and you know what? The overtime winner. He got the overtime winner. If he doesn't have a long stick, he doesn't reach that puck.
Yeah, but you were saying how if a guy walked around Mike Milbury, he would give him the stick.
Oh, Milbury! If you walked around, LeFleur used to walk a lot of guys, and he'd just break the stick over you. I mean, you get a 5-minute major now. I mean,
so can I ask you a question? Getting back to Cheevers, like he was your goalie when you were in Rochester, and you were his defenseman. Did he ever yell at you like that?
He always yelled, "Stay up."
Yelling. So now you're his coach,
and I hear him yelling, "Stay up, stay up." And actually, a guy, if he could stay up, I mean, that'd be different. Or Bobby Orr, believe it or not, Bobby Orr could do what Eddie Shore wanted us to do. He could stay up and take the puck off the guy, but nobody else could. And Eddie Shore used to say to me, if you could visualize in reality, your maneuverability is nil. Yeah.
What do you say about your stick?
Oh, yeah, he said, oh, yeah, what do you say about my stick?
He said, Mr. Cherry, at most hands, a stick is a scientific tool, and he says, yours, it's a blunt instrument.
Isn't that nice?
No kidding. Eddie Shore, I swear to God, this is the truth. I'm going on for a training camp, right? I'm by myself. And I skate on the ice. I'm taking one stride, and I hear him holler, Mr. Cherry, and he's sitting over at the side. One stride. I haven't done anything yet. Anyhow, we get on him.
Well, McDavid walking around through the
one in overtime goal too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Ovechkin got overtime goal.
Yep.
And Crosby, trees number ones.
Yeah.
Nice when you're number one. It's you get those overtime goals. Everything. Well, I'd like to talk about Chera. Yeah. 4-3 winner. Washington beat Boston. They shouldn't have. Boston, I thought I would play them. Chera, even a guy like Chera, he put the stick out in front. You know how you do? Puck run right up and hit him right in the face.
Well, he got hit. Remember the year he got hit?
The jaw.
And he broke his jaw. And
he did the same thing.
He came back, sat on the bench, and then the guy goes, and he was questionable for the next game. And that was the one sports reporter said, hockey's the only sport where you could break your jaw, crack your orbital bone, get your jaw wired shut, and you're questionable for the next game.
And he played.
And he played.
Yeah. He was plus, that game he was plus one, played 21 minutes, and he had 6 block shots, led the thing. McDavid, I mean, I can't say anything enough about this guy. And you know the big thing is about McDavid? When he first started out, he was bad in faceoffs. He was 13-5. He won 13 and lost 5. And he played 23 minutes. He doesn't play a lot. And plus one, and he had the OT winner. And that winner, you know, I would have him at Drysdale play together. I mean, I don't care who. I mean, they got something going. He passed that puck for the overtime winner, and McDavid knew he was going to pass the puck.
Yeah, because we were talking earlier. You said, like, when you were playing Buffalo, you wish they broke up the French Connection or Scotty would have broke up.
Wish Scotty had broke up that line that he had. He had shut on left wing, 60 goals. And Lafleur, I think Lemaire had, it was center, he had 35 goals. And the other, 52 goals every time he put the line on. I wish he'd have broke it up like that. I would always, I don't care if you want to, I would put those guys together. They got magic. They know where everybody is. And it's tough to see.
But we were talking a little bit about Edmonton today too, and you were saying how Mikko Koskinen, he's the goalie. He's played a lot, but he's seen almost 100 more shots than any other goalie in the league.
Isn't that something, eh? I didn't know that. You're telling me that, eh?
Yeah.
Well, they got to cut the shots down. I mean, I've never in my life seen guys walking in cold turkey. Where did the defense go?
Yeah,
where
like,
do they go?
Again, this is Sunday morning, so Saturday night, the first goal against Winnipeg with Brockner Wessner walking in, he just completely disappeared. I said there was the only 5-on-5 breakaway in their own end. And
like nobody, where do they go?
Well, can I ask a question? Do you think that it might be, like even in the minor hockey, that the coaches don't concentrate so much on defensemen?
They
concentrate more on scoring goals, I think.
They don't know how to play defense.
Last night I got to laugh that guy walked in on poor Hellebuck, and then the guys talking about the game blamed it on Hellebuck, the goal. I mean, he didn't play that very well. The guy could have went to the left. The guy could have went to the right. He could have shot it high, low. He had all the time, but.
St. Louis beat Anaheim in that game, Justin Falk, I have to say him, he was a defenseman. He was plus four. But, you know, funny thing is, I remember Daryl Slay and I, we were on, and we used to sit in the, and I say, Daryl would say, we're plus four. Daryl, quit. I don't believe in that. He say, I don't believe in it.
You think you get jinxed.
It's a jinx. Once you say you're plus, and he had 6 hits, so Justin Falk and Pittsburgh and Crosby again in overtime. Boy, he's got a lot of overtime goals this year.
He just sifted it right along the ice.
Yeah. And ran along the ice again. And the other way, he walked right around. He does it in so many ways. OV got the overtime goal, just shot it, and used it as a screen. You know, I have to say Vancouver beat Winnipeg 4-1. And JT Miller, plus three, and 6-3 in the draw. It's very important. What I'm talking about is coaches look when they look like that. And Bessner got, Brock Bessner got, he's plus two.
Got two goals.
Pardon?
Yeah, he got two goals.
Yeah. And
You and I were just quickly talking about the Canadian division. I think that they have the best goalies in the Canadian division. Because you look at Vancouver, like that both Montreal and the Montreal-Calgary game, both goalies played great, and that was Allen. That wasn't even Price. And you had Markstrom in, and then, you know, Vancouver game, you had Demko played great, and Hellebuck played great, and you got Josh Anderson in Toronto. It's just, there's so many good goalies in that division.
You know, it's a funny thing. I see Matthews score, I think he's got his fifth goal. How does a guy from Arizona... And he played in Arizona. He learned, and I think if he had been a baseball player,
he's just a good athlete and just good.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a knack. I mean, yeah. You see that goal last night?
Yeah.
He knew what he played that. And how does a guy from Arizona? Of course, we have them coming over here learning, but he learned everything in Arizona.
Yeah.
I'm afraid he's gone to Arizona when this is over.
Yeah, you don't think once his contract's up.
No, I think he's going to Arizona. I think he wants to go. But, you know, Tim, you mentioned to me, and I went over at that, and I agree with you, is that we in hockey do not, we actually make fun of some of the older hockey players.
Yeah, we don't hold, and Cindy, you and I talked about it a little bit too, that we don't hold like our hockey's history and reverence like football holds their...
And baseball.
And baseball hold their past players in reverence. In hockey, we just forget about them.
And well, I asked you about him, and I said the most famous family has got to be the Sutters. And from Viking, what a great name. Viking, they come from Viking, Alberta. And they say that there was so many of them. But Gary, one of the brothers, was the best of them all. And then he stayed on the farm because one of them had to stay on the farm to work. Yeah. Can I name them?
Tell them. So Sutters were the hockey players. They're the number one hockey family ever.
And there was Brian. There was Brent. There was Daryl. There was Brandon, the guy that's playing now.
Yeah.
Braden, that name.
Oh, Braden.
Tried to spell that name. And there was Dwayne.
And Rich and Ron.
Rich and Ron. And there were twins. I remember I was at a banquet one time. And we're signing autographs and everything. And the Sutters, they left. They wanted me.
This was like in Viking. This was in
Viking.
A,
yeah,
I think it was to get a rink to help get a rink or something.
Well, they're involved in the one of them are involved in the WHL team. I should know that which one because I met them when I was out there. They're involved in the WHL.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon. But anyhow, I'm signing autographs, and what happens in an autograph? 50 people come up, and then you think you're near the end, and then 50. Not that you mind not signing autograph. So I'm getting really tired, and I'm the only one signing. And I remember the lady come up to me and says, "I'm sorry, Don. That's all you can do right now." It's always just, "We'll move you to another room. They're going to do a dancing." But it was a great, and I remember they were kidding Rich all the time. He was one of the twins. They were always kidding him all the time. And she said, "Rich isn't eating his meal. He isn't eating it." She said, "Well, let's pass it down and I'll cut up the food for him," his mom. But it was a great family. They did everything, kind.
Yeah, from 1982 to 1987, all six brothers played in the NHL.
Imagine that, how that'd be like with the mom if she's watching our sons. That would be a tough call.
Do you want me to say what the joke you said?
I was going to bring it up.
Well, Dad was up there doing the joke, and he says, you know, how the Sutters, there's six of them playing in the National Hockey League. And you said, if he could just get Walter Gretzky and the Sutter's mother together, we would have an unstoppable hockey team.
She liked that too.
No, I don't think that didn't go over too well.
It was a groan, but everyone
the father didn't like it. He thought it was funny. I remember, I think it was Brian. Yeah, he was the first, like, Brian. And I remember Ludwig really crushed. He had a bad back, eh? And he crawled off the ice. He crawled, and he got hit in the nose. His nose was broken. His back was, and we were going to interview him. And the blood was coming out of his nose and sweating and everything like that. And I remember, I thought, you know, he was going to do the interview because he said he was going to, and here's the blood coming out and the sweat and his bad back crawling off the ice. And the guy, I never forgot, they handed him, one of the runners handed him some water, eh? And he said, thank you very much. I thought, what? That family is unbelievable.
Good upbringing. Lots good of upbringing. Manners.
Well, mom and dad, eh?
Yep.
And
they won. I think that, you know, the one thing, too, is before we get in, like, I would say they became almost a word in hockey. Like, we would say, well, we need a Sutter.
Oh,
and you would know exactly what you meant. Or he plays like a Sutter.
Yeah, we need a Sutter on the club.
That's what you mean. And doesn't mean you actually physically need a Sutter brother, but you need a guy that could hit and fight and would never quit and would grind and all that. And that's what they, what's he play? Well, he's like a Sutter. And I think the Western Hockey League kind of got their reputation of hockey players being tough.
Yeah, because the Sutters. And I wrote a few things down, eh? Gary was the best, like I said. They say he was supposed to be the best fighter. They won six Stanley Cups. Brian was Calgary. He's with Boston. He played for Boston. He played for the Hawks. He won the Jack Adams, which is not bad. Daryl Sutter. Daryl won two Stanley Cups, and he's coached 11 years. Brent. I think he owns the Red Deer.
Yeah, that was the guy you were saying.
Won the Memorial Cup. That's right. I still think he should still be the, instead of going like Western, Ontario, and I still think there should be only one coach all the time.
Well, he won the gold medal twice, 2005, 2006.
The whole family
in the world juniors.
Anyhow, we're doing our little bit. All together, listen to this now. I wrote this down. 5,000 games they played. They scored 1,300 goals, 3,000 points, 7,200 penalty minutes, and 400 fights.
450 fights.
Because they were tough guys, too, right? They were, not only could they score, they were tough.
They expected everybody else to be tough.
So not only did they were good hockey players, they gave back, too, though. I mean, they were always involved. They made good coaches. They were the type of players that, you say, superstars, questionable in coaching.
They wrote a good book, too.
But they made good coaches, too, because they knew the game so well, right?
Well, they knew. And nobody's going to tell him what to do. And he won the junior. And when he went to junior...
Yeah, that's like you were saying about that. There should be one coach that coaches the juniors. They should get Brent to coach the juniors
because
he
knows it.
The reason I say that is it's altogether different. I went over and I coached in Team Canada and Team Sweden. It's altogether different hockey, and the guy this year he just knew. He learned about Olympic hockey, and then he's gone. He won't be there next year. He'll be somebody else. But it's Quebec, probably be Western. He's just learning.
I think we're the only country that does that. Every country has a dedicated coach. Like Larionov, this was his first year, but he'll be, for the next couple of years, he'll be.
He looked good behind the bench.
Yeah, yeah.
And a good hockey player.
And speaking about European or international hockey, people don't remember. Remember, everybody remembers in 1987, Gretzky to Lemieux.
Yeah, I remember he sucked the guy over and
but
Murphy's coming up.
But we were losing 3-0 in that game.
Yeah, and the guy, Howichuk, God love him, and Tockett.
And Sutter were the ones that got us back.
We were losing 3-0, and it was the grinder line that got us going. Yeah. I mean, nobody ever.
They got four goals, that line.
They
won 6-5 and they were down 3-0. We got the four goals. And of course, I think Tockett and Sutter said, all right, we're going to kind of make take no prisoners, and
we're going to revert to Canadian.
We're going to revert back to So
you know, I was thinking about Gretzky. I mean, we're talking about hat tricks and everything. And Gretzky, what are they getting? 90 records he owns or something. And we talk about hat tricks. He got 60 hat tricks. 60 hat tricks. He had 50. He had 50 in the regular season, and he had, I think he had 10 in the playoffs. He was really something. Did I ever tell you the story about the time Walter Gretzky and I? I'm going to tell it again anyhow. I got asked if I'd go to a lacrosse game. Boy, that's a tough game. And so we're standing in the penalty box. It was for charity and that. And I see these guys, little guys coming. They're little wee midgets. Boom, they come out all together, right? Like, you know, boom, boom, boom. And cross-checking, banging and everything. I said to Walter, I said, this happened? Oh, he said, this is just an easy game. This is an exhibition.
Yeah, they... I don't know who was it, but the media or who the people, the pacifists in the world haven't gotten.
No, they haven't
gotten to lacrosse yet.
They haven't ruined that game yet.
Well, we don't want it to get too popular or we'll get watered down version, right?
Well, I'll tell you. So we're walking out, and I don't know whether I told the story. I'm going to tell it again. And this kid came up to me. I'm walking out with Walter Gretzky, and Gretzky was right at his prime then. And he said, okay, Mr. Cherry, who's the best hockey player in the world? I said, I'm walking with Walter Gretzky here. Like, what do I say now? He's 60 hat trick. So I come on. I says, Wayne Gretzky is the greatest hockey player in the world playing today. And Walter says to me, you know, Don, you'd make a good politician.
That's a good one.
Well, you were there, I think, for one of his crowning moments was he got 50 goals and 39 games.
Holy.
39 games. And before the game, I was doing the color. And I said as a joke, imagine he got five tonight.
So he had 45 going into that game.
Yeah. Imagine he got five tonight. So I'm going to hurry this through. Bing, bing, you know. And I said, man, and I forget that I was doing the color with. Anyhow, I was doing the color. And sure enough, it was a close game. And they had Billy Barber on the point.
Right, they were playing Philly, and they pulled their goalie.
Yeah, they pulled their goalie, and they had Billy Barber on. So he walks down, and he fell down.
Barber tried to knock the puck away from Gretzky.
Yeah, he dove. But he looked like he fell down, but he didn't. Yeah. He dove. So I'm walking out.
And Gretzky scored in the open net. It was 50 goals.
And
the
place, nuts, the place and was going crazy. The whole deal. So I'm walking out with Billy Barber, and he's cursing and swearing. I'm like, what are you? Yeah, he says, yeah. The only thing they'll ever remember, he says, is 20 years from now, is when he scored that goal, me falling down. And I said, they won't remember that. 30 years from now, I see it the other day, and they told a picture of him falling down.
That's right. That's the irony of it. It's 40 years ago, they still showed him falling down.
And I remember walking out with him cursing and swearing. I couldn't figure out why he was. And that's why he was swearing.
Yeah. That'll be the hockey trivia question. When Bobby's flying through the air, that goal, the defenseman said that. I'll always be known as the guy that was behind Bobby when he was flying through the air in that famous shot.
Glenn Hall, Mr. Gooley, played, 570 games?
Yeah.
He said, did you ever score any other goals besides that goal? Is the only one you ever saw.
Who was the one goalie that they always showed Rocket scoring on in Boston?
Don Simmons,
yeah.
Oh, the story about Don Simmons. I got to tell you just one story about Don Simmons. This is a true story. This is in Cleveland. Eddie Shore was nuts. Everybody says he's eccentric now, but he was nuts. He pulled the whole team off the ice. The whole team.
During the game.
Donnie Simmons is in the net. And the goalie's out there all alone. I'm not kidding.
What happens? He was arguing with the ref or something?
I don't know. He said the ref wasn't calling a good game or something, some stupid thing. And everybody's wants to shoot at him. And the only reason it stopped.
So, wait a minute. So they went and they dropped the puck.
They dropped the puck. He said, if you're not putting the guy on, we're dropping the puck. And bing, bing, they're shooting. And what happened was the puck went in the crowd. The only thing that stopped it. Or he did the same thing with him. He didn't count a goal And I remember I was in the game, and he took the gold judge out. He said, well, if you're not going to pay attention to the gold judge, we're not going to. He's nuts. And Brian Kilroy thinks he's the smartest guy in the world.
So what did Don Simmons do? What did he, when he dropped the puck? He must Nothing. Have went like.
Well, can you imagine? And you pull the team off the ice and you face off in our end too. And the only thing, the puck went the crowd.
So the ref just said, if you're not putting the guys on, yeah. I'm going to drop the puck. And
didn't matter. And I things I remember about Cleveland, I remember Punch Imlach. He was coaching and I was playing with Bob Armstrong. And he said, Bob Armstrong and Thingamabob. I was Thingamabob. And I wouldn't go on. So he didn't play me for the rest of the game.
Yeah. So, well, Dad, I just want to mention our sponsors. Spreads.ca is a First Nation-owned online casino and sportsbook tailored to Canadians, so it's Canadian money, which is good. You sign up now and enter promo GRAPES, and they'll match your deposit for $500, and you get some spins on a big wheel, and you can win.
Pretty good.
Bindo, yeah, and that's Spreads.ca. And if we're going to talk about betting, Super Bowl, this will be our last thing before the Super Bowl. So are you taking the Chiefs or are you taking the Buccaneers?
You think I'm going against? Tell a story about, I love that story you had told about Brady, about the commercial.
Well, there was a funny commercial where I don't know if it was on TV or it was on the internet, that Tom Brady's from California, right? So,
But everybody thinks he's from Boston.
But, you know, he's put for the Patriots, right? So he's in a store in California. And this guy walks in, he goes, oh, there's Tom Brady. He says, I hate you guys from Boston. And Tom Brady goes, well, no, I'm really from California. Yeah, all I hear is you guys from Boston. Park the cod, Harvard Yard. And Brady goes, well, no, I'm.
Remember the time, Tim, you come home? I'll never forget Tim come home. And he says, I said, well, what'd you learn today? He says, oh, we did with the Sharks. I said, oh, he's learning about cars and that. And it was Sharks.
Yeah. Well, I learned, it's when you're young, right? Like, you learn French when you were in there.
You adopt them.
You adopt the language. And then they do talk like that. They do drop their R's.
No, do they?
Yeah. So anyway, so the joke was that this guy was constantly saying, oh, I hate you, New England. Or you guys, Brady was getting mad saying, I'm not from Boston. I just played for the Patriots. But he is synonymous with Boston, right?
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah. And that's the one thing I always found, too, is that if you live in Boston, you are a Red Sox fan for life, and you're a Patriot fan for life.
And you're from Boston.
And you're from Boston, and you're Bruins fan for life.
Yeah, the guy said to me one night, I was in the airport, he says, yeah, I love Boston, you know, and I'm going on how much he loves Boston, and, you know, and I'm, oh, when did you leave Boston? 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And when you're from Boston, you're always from Boston. Yeah.
So you're taking...
I'm taking Brady. I would never bet a guy from Boston.
Well, he's an underdog. He's 3.5-point underdog.
What a thing. Can you imagine? Think about that. He leaves New England, which was the powerhouse, and he goes to Tampa, and they hadn't made the playoffs the year before.
So what you're saying is, a player, when they have something to prove, it really is a good motivator.
Well, I mean, he, like... That was always the thing. Was it Belichick, the coach, or was it Tom Brady?
Yeah.
And Patriots didn't make the playoffs, and Brady went to the Super Bowl. But I think the one funny thing was they were talking about Mahomes. So it's like the old guard versus the new guard. This guy, Mahomes, probably the best quarterback. And Brady...
Man, that shovel pass.
He's unbelievable. So I was watching, I forget who was in the States, and the guy says, is Mahomes, you know, as good as Tom Brady? So the guy goes... He goes, you can't tell now because this is his only Super Bowl. So this is Tom Brady's 10th Super Bowl. So he said, if Mahomes in the Super Bowl in 2032, then I'll say he's as good as Tom Brady. So,
well, it should be a good Super Bowl. And
everybody loves to hate him, though, right? He's easy to hate, Tom Brady.
I love his wife when he didn't win that time. And he was throwing and they were dropping the ball. And he says, what do you want him to do? And I thought she was pretty good. What do you want him to do? Throw it and catch it too at the same time? Yeah. That you got to get a wife that sticks for them.
Well, yeah. I think of Tom Brady. I think of the story of you'd explained it to me about that when the football wasn't inflated enough. Oh, yeah. That whole thing, and he took the hit. And you said, you know, he took the hit for the underinflated ball, right?
Yeah, the guy.
But it was really probably just a young kid that did it.
They thought they were helping Tom. But what was it? They didn't put enough.
Yeah, they said the balls, well, I forget who they were playing, were complaining that the balls were underdeflated, like not as, they didn't have as, they weren't as inflated as they should be, and
right.
they supposedly helped Brady, stuff like that. And the rumor kind of going around was that it was back then, they don't do it now, but back then, the New England, it was at home, so the Patriots had these ball boys, basically,
right.
that were in charge of it.
Right.
And so the rumor was that these guys kind of did it without talking, you know, just kind of did it on their own, and Brady took the hit for it.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, and
he fluffed it off.
And, oh,
well,
fluffed
no,
it off, but he took a lot of
he took
a
lot
of abuse.
Of abuse, and they called him a cheater and all that. And
didn't know anything about it.
And I think that he just, and remember, they took his phone. They wanted his phone, and they were, it was like, it, you know.
And he could have easily have blamed it on somebody else.
Well, he could have blamed it on the kids.
Yeah.
And he didn't. So, I mean, that's the main thing I remember about Brady,
well,
is that he didn't
he
take
wins.
The easy way out.
I hope he wins.
Mentioned
for
too,
sure.
It's mentioned, the only guy I feel sorry for is the owner of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because he gets Tom Brady, gets the guys, builds the team, bids for the Super Bowl, gets the Super Bowl, is in Tampa.
It's first time
ever that a city that's hosting a Super Bowl is actually, the team is playing in the Super Bowl, and the pandemic hits, and he's not going to have that many fans.
I never thought of that, Tim. Imagine no fans there. Same as Buffalo. Buffalo, greatest year they've ever had in a long time, and they have no fans.
Yeah. Well, Dad, we'll wrap it up right now, and we'll just want to say next week we'll do your birthday. It's going to be your birthday?
Yeah, going to be my birthday. And how old will I be? 86?
87, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Jason LaSalle and I'll tell a story about a few stories about I sold my cottage. It was too far to drive, and I'll tell you a few stories about them. I almost drowned there. And a lot of people wish I had them.